The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Welcome back, folks, to another great edition of Dr. J Radio Live. Of course, I am your host, Dr. J, broadcasting from the City of Demons. I used to say City of Angels, but it's more City of Demons nowadays. And we are publicly, or we are internationally syndicated, starting with UPRN, United Public Radio Network, 107.7 FM, New Orleans, Louisiana. And also one of my affiliates that's carried me around for multiple years, all the different networks I've been, is Deprogrammed Radio in the UK with their terrestrial affiliates in London and Leeds, plus all the other global affiliates from Hong Kong to Brazil to Canada to you name it, folks. And we have to thank the folks at iHeartMedia for carrying such a show when we are covering topics that I would think the mainstream would kick us out. But hey, the mainstream is dumping a lot of good money in the Travel Channel, Biography Channel, Destination America, History, you know it. People are finally starting to accept what has been happening and what's been going on for centuries, millennia, literally millennia, thousands and thousands of years. Some people even claim further than that. Now, today's guest, you all should know her from all the social media we've had, and also from her appearances on Biography Channel's My Ghost Story and Discovery Channel / Destination America Monsters and Mysteries. And that's the one and only Miss Annie Wilder. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be here, and I think it's going to be fun. I feel like you're a friend already.
Oh, it's definitely going to be fun, and I absolutely feel the same about you. A logical place to start, and this is obviously my curiosity, and I would think a lot of people out there too, is what got you into the paranormal? Did you have your own experience, or did just something in your life say, hey, look, maybe I should start looking into this area more?
Well, the thing that really kicked it into high gear was moving into a haunted house in 1994. However, I did grow up Catholic. People usually ask me, you know, what made you believe in spirits and ghosts? And I think the factor that contributed the most to that was growing up Catholic. Because in our family, my mom and dad and my grandparents and my teachers at the Catholic school, many adults that I respected and looked up to believed in spirits. I mean, we prayed before our meals to the Holy Ghost back in the 60s and the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church, at least when I was growing up. There was this whole culture of spirits and angels and saints and guardians and saints that you prayed to. There were rules and courtesies, and it would have been more surprising to me to find people who didn't believe in spirits, because it just seemed like part of the world, you know. And I was also very lucky to have my mom's mom was Irish, and she would tell us the best stories about fairies and banshees and the death coach and leprechauns and magic. And my mom was interested in dreams and psychic experiences, and my dad was a Montana farmer who's just very earthy. And even though he was not so much into that. He was very connected to the earth, and his father, who was also a farmer, used to do water witching or dowsing to find water for wells. So, and his dad, my grandpa, also was kind of psychic, although they never used that term. They just said that he knew things. So I think from, I grew up in an environment that didn't treat ghosts like something that didn't exist, or the spirit world. It seemed like it was a very interesting and complex world, just like our own. And I did see two ghosts when I was a little girl, but I never saw it. I do believe I'm intuitive and I'm very interested in these things, but I did not start really seeing spirits and hearing spirits and occasionally feeling spirits touch me until I moved into the house that I'm living in now.
Now, this actually spawned a few questions. First of all, you actually read my mind when you were talking about your mom and your heritage. I believe that hundreds of years ago, hauntings, or not hauntings, fairies, leprechauns, gremlins, all of them in the UK, even all around Europe, actually, every culture believed that there was something else, whether it be little people, whether, dwarves. I mean, this was all, if you were talking about you saw a leprechaun or a fairy, they didn't burn you at the stake like they did here in Salem back in Europe, and especially in UK now, which excludes Northern Ireland, but even though it's still on the same isle, we all know it's part of UK unofficially. But that was literally read my mind about the history of this. I truly believe that this has been happening for as long as thing. Now, this also spawns into my next question that you actually mentioned. Two things. First of all, your father and grandfather were using dowsing, which is a way of divination to find things.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming throughout your career, you found other ways for divination. Can you explain those real quick before I go into the other two things that I got out of your statement just before?
Sure. Well, there are many forms of divination, and I think they're very fascinating. There's scrying, looking into a mirror or a dark bowl of water. There's crystal ball reading, which in some of the haunted spirited events that I host at my house, I found a crystal ball reader. He was incredible. I'm going to have him come back this year. There is pendulum work, which is kind of like dowsing, which you use either metal rods or twigs and branches from nature. You can actually use divination. You can use divination with cards. You can use divination with anything, really. You're just asking a question and creating a system that will provide information. But the time-honored forms of divination, I would say, that most people know are like tarot reading,
yes,
crystal ball reading,
Ouija board,
the I Ching. What's the E word? What did you say?
Ouija board.
Ouija board. Yes, the Ouija board. That's pretty controversial. And my take on the Ouija board is that there are probably less risky ways to gain guidance than a Ouija board, based on some of my own experiences. But I think it is possible if people are working with a guide, an astral guide, a spirit guide, or a spirit helper, or are very skilled psychics or intuitives and do protection work, that it could be okay. I just feel like there are so many other ways to gain guidance using divination, that a Ouija board would not be one of the choices I would use. myself.
You know what? Have I'm you glad had- you mentioned this is synchronicity. First of all, I've heard this from many people. Grant Wilson was telling me that most cases that involved a poltergeist or ghost that was evil, if you want to call it evil, or had negative intentions, usually had a Ouija board involved in the house. But before I go into the next question, already we have two questions in the chat already. Lars Saturn asks, does she believe we are all connected?
Oh, I like that. I knew that it was going to go deep tonight, and that's why I was really looking forward to this. And I'm glad that we have 2 hours to talk. Yes, I do believe that we are all connected. I do believe that everything is connected. I can give you I believe because of, and if you want to read a book on that, I'm sorry, I'm not a screen that has the chat room names, but because I get too easily distracted. But there is a wonderful book written for non-physics people called The Holographic Universe. And that is like a fascinating book that explores that concept that we are all connected energetically. There are many books like that. I mean, books on shamanism, books on physics. But to give you an interesting example, just today, I went to our local vet to pick up some cat food. And I love going there because there's usually, you know, cats and dogs and, you know, people. It's just fun. It's high energy. And today I walked in, and we have very weird weather here today, which we'll get to in a little bit. But it was very foggy and it's flooding. And so we've got these bare trees. It was just thick fog. And a lot of the roads out in the country are underwater, according to the receptionist at the vet's office. And so I walked in and there was no one there. And it was the middle of the day. I've never had that happen in 24 years going to the same vet. And so we started talking a little bit and she was telling me about that. And then I told her about my drive this morning, which was very eerie, a road almost underwater, and we started talking about tsunamis and these videos, and we were getting more and more like hyped up. And she has the same. That's one of my weird fears, is deep rolling water, and I have a lot of dreams about driving on a road that is suddenly underwater, and I do know the symbolism of that, at least for me. But we like connected in a way that you normally wouldn't if you're just going to go pick up cat food in a busy vet's office. And then another young woman came out and sat down at her computer. And so the woman I had been speaking with rang me up, and she was looking at my looking up our file or whatever. And she asked me for my name. And then she said, "And who's Dudley?" And I started to say, "Dudley is my," and I almost said cat, which is really crazy because he's my partner. He's my mate. He's my man. And so I stopped myself and I said, "He's my husband." And she said, and she looked at me and she started laughing. And she said, "He's your cat." And I said, "Did I actually say that?" And the girl sitting behind the other computer said, "No, you said he's your husband." And I said, "That is exactly what I was thinking, but I didn't say it." And it was almost like our, you know, we had connected so much energetically because of, I'm guessing, this topic that we both were kind of, you know, revved up about, and there was some fear and there was some high energy, that I think she actually just tuned into my thoughts. And that is why I feel like if there's fear, like if you're on an investigation or getting back to the thing I kind of referenced, like when there's very severe threatening, especially if it's kind of ominous and spooky weather, that I feel like it becomes, the weather itself becomes a gateway for paranormal activity, because there's this increased energy that astral world beings can use to manifest or to affect the physical world. And combined with, you're on high alert because you feel threatened slightly. So that's a very long answer to the question, do I think we're all connected? I do think we're all connected.
Very good answer. And you know what? These people are these fine people in chat, which I actually just wrote a comment myself, that are very engaged, intelligent, and very interested in what you have to say, and interesting people. And they're beating me to the questions I want to ask. So they get precedent because, again, folks, the guest of the show is the guest of honor. And for you listeners, especially you in the chat, you guys and gals get a precedent over my questions. So let's go to your questions first. Let's go to the next one, which is, let's see here. I don't want to miss anybody. So we asked the first one. This one is interesting. From Corey Sayre. Does she believe that ghosts are dimensional? Again, Annie, what me and you were speaking to prior to the show?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I think they are interdimensional beings, or multidimensional beings might be a better word. And I have two examples for that. Okay, so I live in a house that is very spirited. It is haunted. We have, in 24 years, had some very frightening experiences. But overall, the spirits in this house are companionable rather than spooky. And I consider the main house spirit, who was the old man who lived here before us, to be an ally that I work with in the spirit world. I can start the whole story or tell you more.
No, by all means.
And I do another story. But yeah, but to answer this question specifically before I lose my train of thought, this house is very energetically wide open. It has three portals within the house and one outside. And that is one of the reasons that so many things can move through this house and manifest in this house. I do not actually refer to myself as a paranormal investigator, but I guess because I live here, I'm always recording what's happening. I'm a writer. I'm more of a scribe of this house. I'm telling its story, but I've had lots of paranormal teams come in. There are videos and recordings, EVPs and stuff on my website that you can listen to. And I've had many psychics and psychic mediums come through the house and give me their insights. And I myself have seen spirits and heard spirits, as have my family and friends that have been here. So my goal for this house is to keep it safe, keep it positive, to appreciate its magic, and to help others learn about the spirit world in a safe, respectful environment. And so one of the first things that happens when people come to my house is they say, your house doesn't look haunted. It looks really cheerful and inviting. And I say, that's exactly the impression I want to create, because this is my home. You know, I don't want it to look spooky and haunted and decrepit. I want it to look warm and inviting and just positive energy. So when we have had some of the spookier, you know, experiences here, I go through. So on a regular basis, to maintain positive energy in the house, I do things both on the physical level, like keeping it clean, keeping fresh air moving through, you know, fresh flowers, homemade, you know, art pictures that my family, kids in the family have made, things like that that keep it positive. I also do things on the energetic or spirit level, like prayers, burning sage, doing Reiki, healing energy in the house. So those are ways that I work on two levels, keeping it safe. Leon, who is my ally, the former owner, he's my ally in the spirit world. He was an old German guy, traditional, hardworking. And we have gotten to know him because his spirit was the main spirit haunting the house, and I saw him, and I was able to identify him when I saw a picture of him after I'd seen his spirit. But he is also interested in protecting this house. And so he has more, what would you say, like a better working knowledge. He is in the spirit world. He has access to information and knowledge that I don't have. If I were a more talented psychic, I might have more of it, but I'm very happy to have his help. And so he works on the spirit level, but occasionally he also works on the physical level, helping me protect the house. Two examples of that. One night, I was up late. We were going to go on a vacation the next day. My kids were teenagers. Not circuit breakers. What's the old fashioned thing? The little round knobs that stick in the wall for electricity. It's not knob and tube wiring. It's the little, we had the old fashioned kind of wiring and we blew a fuses.
Oh, fuse.
Yeah. So we blew a fuse. Yeah. So I was working by candlelight, trying to get the last bit of stuff done, ready for our trip. Went to bed at like 4 a.m. Brought my candle because there's no electricity. And next thing I knew, somebody was tapping grabbed my pajama top and was tapping my shoulder. And I woke up and I saw the burning candle sitting beside the bed. And I was like, oh my gosh, blew out the candle, turned around to say thank you. And then I was like, wait, I am alone in bed. My kids were all upstairs sleeping. That was the first time that I felt that Leon actually physically touched me. He helped me keep the house safe by blowing out the candle. The second thing that he did was when somebody was on my porch, I wasn't home, somebody was on my porch that had been showing up at my house uninvited. He's an okay guy. He was a contractor who wanted to do some work on my house. And I didn't have any plan to do any work at that time. But he had come to my house and was showing some other potential customers the outside of my house, standing on the porch, telling them like what he could do at their house. And I heard this from him like 2 weeks later, that while they were standing there, two of the spindles on the porch railing just blasted out into the yard. And he knew the house was haunted. And the people, you know, trotted out of there. And he said, your ghost scared me off your property. And I thought, that's exactly what he should do. So in that way, like we, both Leon and I are working, I would say, on multiple dimensions. Because at some level, you know, I'm aware when there are, intruder might be too strong a word, but I'm aware when things are off energetically in my
house. Well, intuit actually is probably right on the button of what you said. You are intuitive if you have this connection and can know and have a sense. I mean, the sixth sense is intuition.
Yeah, and here's another example of that. And I was I was happy when I saw it was somewhere on your site or in one of your shows about remote viewing.
Yes.
Because, and this is also gets into multidimensionality. I was going to have a new paranormal team was going to come to my house. This was probably 5 or 10 years ago, and they were very nice. And I always asked anyone to come to my house, but I get requests from paranormal groups to come to my house. And so I always speak with who's ever, you know, in charge of the group or the lead person. And then I check out their website. And I have been pretty open about letting people come in and investigate if I felt that they would be respectful of my house, respectful towards me and respectful towards the spirits, because I don't want anything summoned in that's not here already, and I don't want the spirits here are welcome. You know, I expect the spirits to treat my guests with courtesy, and I expect my guests to treat the spirits with courtesy. So this particular week, the week leading up to this investigation, I started noticing that there was something new in the house. There was some spirit energy that was not familiar to me. I couldn't see anything, but it was doing different things, and it was like moving throughout the whole house, which is not my usual experience with spirits. Like, my experience has been that they have their favorite places to hang out, and that's usually where they are. So when the team came, I said to them, I think you guys are going to have fun. I'm going to be interested to hear what you have to say tonight, because I think there's a new spirit in the house. And they're like, really? What makes you say that? And I said, well, for the last 3 or 4 days, something has been moving through the house. I don't know who it is. It's unfamiliar energy. It doesn't feel negative, but it's just completely unfamiliar to me. And the guy said, oh, that's probably the psychic on our team, because we always send her to astrally check out the places before we come in and do an investigation.
Now, keep going. Yeah. Oh, by all means.
Okay. Yeah. So my response was, well, I think I'm happy that I was able to tune in, but I have to say this is a private residence, and I do consider that a violation of my privacy, basically, you know. Yes. So, but I am still friends with the entire group. But yeah, but so that's another example, I guess, of multidimensionality. You know, part of her consciousness was here checking out my house, and I could sense that it was. Meanwhile, you know, she was wherever she lived doing her regular day-to-day stuff until they got here for the investigation.
And what we talked about earlier about all the energy that must have existed from the years of the location. Yeah. Now, yeah. The reason why I was saying what I was just about to say is I'm merging two questions into one from the same person. This is Manuel Silva. The first question is, letting me find the first one, asks about... let me go back in the chat, folks. Let's find you, Manuel. What are your most scariest experience, or the most scariest experience? And the second part is to ask you if you still experience spirits till this day, and what happens when you call out the name of Jesus?
Okay. So help me if I forget any part of that, but the scariest, there have been a couple really, really scary things here. The ones that I most often get asked about, because they were in my first book, were shortly, there was a short period of time in 1997, I moved here in 1994, when we had there was a film crew here that was filming, making a like 2-hour documentary on a psychic named Echo Bodine, who is incredible. She's a healer. I mean, her real skill is healing, but she became known as a, back in the day, Ghostbuster. Probably she was the first and most well-known psychic medium in Minnesota. And somebody was making a documentary on her life, and they asked if they could come here. And I said, yes, but I don't need any of the spirits here to leave. I just want to know their stories, because I know there's several spirits that are regulars here. And so while they were filming, Echo went upstairs with just the cameraman, and they were walking around. They came back down, and this, I totally put this on me and not on Echo. Echo gave me a report, and I misunderstood what she was saying. That was the first part of my problem. She said she encountered Leon, and he wasn't down here in the regular part of the house where he usually was. He was up in what was my bedroom. And she said, there is a male spirit up there, and he is very strong. And he is telling me, these girls shouldn't be living in this house alone. At the time, it was me and my two daughters. And he said, if I was their dad, I would not let them be here alone. This house is not safe. Things have happened in this room and things that should never have happened. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And I could not tell. I couldn't tell if she was saying that he had said that or done that. Like if he had been involved in this. And this is my bad, because I consider him already an ally, because the cameras were rolling and I was like kind of flustered. It was the first time I'd been on film. And I think I said something like, well, did he do something? And she said, no, but he's too strong and he's too involved in things here in the house. Like he needs to move on because he is, he hasn't crossed over yet. And I agreed that she could cross him over. Now, this isn't on Echo. It's on me, because I have a ton of respect for Echo and I actually consider her a friend. So the rest of the video, I think it's still on YouTube, but I hope nobody finds it. Because I looked like a sad sack. I just followed her up and we went up to my room and she was going to ask him to go to the light. And he had disappeared. He wasn't there. And I said, oh, and I'm standing in the doorway looking sad in the video, which is why I feel like I only tell the story because it's real. Like I learned something from it. So she said, well, he's not here, but we'll clear the room and ask him to go to the light. And I did say like in my head, like, I'm sorry, Leon, maybe this is for the best. But then he was gone. And he was gone. Like I could tell he was gone. I couldn't feel him around the house anymore. And that's when these two super scary things happened. The first one, I'd already seen different spirits here. Like I'd seen when I saw Leon the first time, he looked like a physical human. He looked like a regular guy, older guy, kind of stout, kind of like bent a little bit, like he had a sore back or sore hips. And I've seen many other spirits, some that were like somewhat transparent and floating. We've been able to identify three of the spirits that I've seen here through pictures of families that lived here before. And then there are still some that I haven't. And then there were spirits I've seen that didn't look like necessarily completely human. And so the first one was one of these. It was waking up. And there's one room in my house that is very unusual. It's the room that is the most haunted. And by day, and this is going to sound weird, but by day it's a playroom. It's got south-facing windows. It's this little room kind of, you know, under the alcove. Like it's orange and blue linoleum. And it's in the daytime, it is cheery and sunny and bright. And at night, the energy flips. And so I do not let kids sleep in that room. And that was my bedroom at the time. It has always been the most haunted room in the house. And most rooms have an energy signature, like the energy that they have is their energy. I've never before encountered a room where the energy flips like that. And it's like day and night. So it's continual. Anyway, that was my bedroom. I woke up. I saw this dark, oily man standing by my bed, looking down at me with a very like smirky expression on his face. And the main characteristic about him was that he was super oily. Like his hair was long and black and it was really oily. His skin was really oily. And even this long black coat that he was wearing was like glistened like gasoline on a mud puddle. You know how it's kind of got an iridescent. And that was the first time that I saw a spirit that I tried to scream, and I couldn't scream because I was too scared. And then he just blinked out slowly. And so I called him Dark Man in my book. And we have tried to identify who he is or what his connection to the house is, if there's any, and have not been able to. But then shortly after that, I'd have to look at my own book, because when I wrote my books, I was going through calendars and date books and, you know, notes and dreams and all that stuff that I had recorded. But now when I'm just telling you the story. I don't remember the exact details, but it was shortly after that that I woke up one night pinned down in my bed in that room.
Physically contacted.
Yes. And it's not sleep paralysis, because I've had that. But sleep paralysis is an uncomfortable feeling, regardless of where you are. It's doubly uncomfortable if you're in a haunted house and your mind is alert, but you can't move your body, because it's very threatening, you know, because it's like you feel like something's going to happen and you can't move, but you're aware of it, you know, so it's not like you wake up, run out of bed. But this was something different. This was literally something just like crushing me down, holding me down. I could not move. I was awake. I was praying, swearing, and calling on all my family spirits, asking Leon for help, even though he hadn't, you know, I felt that he was gone. Either that he had moved on when Echo suggested that he move on to the light, or that he was just mad and he was gone. And all of a sudden, whatever the thing was, just I never saw anything, but it felt male, but I couldn't see anything. It didn't feel like human spirit. It just lifted off. And the impression I got was that it was, the whole point of that was showing me that I had no control in that situation. I had no power, and it had all the power. And that was enough. Like, it just was establishing that. But I was so mad. I sat up in bed. I took my elbow and I just slammed it behind me, like, you know, and sitting up in bed, wide awake, I felt this tongue go into my ear.
Ooh.
So that was one of the creepiest things that has happened. And I tell that story because it's true, and because I also want people to know that even if you have a really bad, scary, you know, violation experience, it doesn't necessarily mean that demonic possession has commenced, you know, and that you have to move out of your house. It was really scary, and I had a really hard time sleeping after that. I mean, you know, for the next several weeks until I felt secure again. And I did, like, blessings. I mean, I actually ran out that night and ran after that happened and got my first communion cross and brought it to bed with me. Leon did come back. He came back, and the way I knew he was back was when that guy was on the front porch showing my house and talking about work that he could do for people. And this guy stopped by and told me, he's like, "Hey, your ghost chased me off your property." And I just smiled, because it's like, Leon's back. So that those were two. I'll answer the other parts of the question now. Let's see. So calling out the name of Jesus, that is what I do. I'm no longer Catholic, but I still feel that is powerful, good energy, strong, you know, energy that has to be respected. And I have had one time when it did not do any good, but oftentimes that feels like that is the end of, you know, of whatever is happening. And that's something that, even if I'm having a bad dream or something, I wake up, or sometimes in the dream I'm saying, like, in the name of God I command you to leave, or in the name of Jesus I command you to leave. So, and what was the other part of the question?
I was just going to say, you just actually not only answered the second question, but a follow-up third question I was just about to ask that came from the same person, Manuel Silva, who the second part of the question, let me get back to it, was if you still have experience with spirits till this day, what happens when you call out the name of Jesus, which you mentioned? The other newer part is to ask you to try to rebuke these spirits in the name of Christ and see what happens, which you just said you did.
Right. Yeah. And it has been, I hate to use the word successful, but it has been powerful enough to be respected in all situations but one. And that was something that I don't, it felt like more than a dream. It felt like there was a more to it than a dream. And in my house, one of the main experiences that people have, family and friends, I don't have like an Airbnb or something, and I never will because I would be too uncomfortable with that. But when people spend the night here, even if they don't believe in ghosts, one of the main experiences that people have here is that they cannot tell if they are awake or asleep because they think they fall asleep and then they feel like they're awake, but they see spirits standing around the bed, or they feel like they're awake, but you know, like one friend, a little boy was standing beside the bed and she got really scared. And then she's like, okay, I'm at Annie's. This is just a dream. I just need to wake up. And then she looked beside the bed and there was a dog beside the little boy. The little boy was still there and there was a dog. One of the weirdest experiences here was when one of my girlfriends from Llewellyn, where I used to work, wanted to spend the night. She had her boyfriend, Marv, with her. And then she had one of her girlfriends, another girlfriend that I didn't know, who was pretty psychic. So they were, as it turned out, they all wanted to sleep downstairs. They were too scared to sleep upstairs. So my girlfriend, I'm going to call her Angie, and because I can't remember if I gave her a pen name in the book, but Angie and Marv, she slept on the couch. We brought a twin bed mattress down to put on the floor beside the couch. And then her other friend slept on the couch in the parlor. So Angie and Marv were in the living room. The other girlfriend was in the parlor right under a haunted door that I have in the parlor. It's the cover of my book, House of Spirits and Whispers. And so the next morning I came down and I'm like, all right, did everybody have a ghost experience? Did anybody have one? So Angie's experience, she is very left-brained. And she said that, she said, no, I just had a dream that this, you know, family friend, he's like, it's the son of my mom and dad's friends of, you know, many decades, that I went home today and my dad said, oh, did you know that whatever his name's son is getting married in September? And I said, oh, all right. I said, well, what about, again, I can't remember if I used her real name, so I'm hesitating, but the girlfriend who was sleeping under the haunted door in the parlor. And she said, yes, she said the seed poster girl in the door kept inviting me to come out of my body all night and play in the house, run around. And I've actually been told that by psychics who don't know that story, that there are spirit children who are always running around the house and inviting me to come out and play. And then Marv, who was a little freaked out by the whole thing, and Marv grew up Catholic also, I said, so what about you? And he said, I don't know what happened last night. He said, I got up to go to the bathroom. And he said, I came back and it thought I was trying to lay down on the mattress. He said, I'm really certain that I did get up and go to the bathroom. He said, what happened after that? I don't know how to explain it. He said that instead of being able to lie down, it's like his body standing up started flying through the house. Ooh. About 2 feet off the floor. He said he went through you'd have to see how my house is laid out, but you can actually go in a circle because there are like 49 doors in this house, or there's a ton of doors. It's really a cool old house. But so he said he was floating like 2 feet above the ground, through the kitchen, through the parlor where he saw, you know, and his friend sleeping on the couch, through the hallway, through the kitchen, through the, you know, just around and around and around. He was terrified. He couldn't stop. He couldn't control himself. And then he said the next thing he knew, it was morning and he's on the mattress. So what was my point about this? Oh, so the dream. Okay, so calling up the name of Jesus Christ. So this weird sense of like, I feel wide awake, but this doesn't seem like it could be happening, is a really common experience that people have here in the house. So getting back to the original question, I had a dream one night, and it was a night when Dudley was not home. So I was alone. But I lived here alone for many years after my kids grew up, before Dudley and I met. But I was having a nightmare. And my nightmare was that there were ghosts in the house, pounding, really loud pounding, which we have had happen in real life, but not for a long time. And then I heard something running up the stairs, heavy footsteps. And in this dream that felt real, I jumped out of bed and I ran into the hallway, which is towards the staircase, and I just crouched down in front of a big linen closet. And I thought, oh, I wish Dudley were here. And all of a sudden, boom, Dudley was there. My next thought was, I wish he had a gun. And all of a sudden, bloop, he had a gun. And then I said, shoot it, shoot it. And he said, how can you shoot something that's dead? I said, I don't care. I'm like, shoot it. And then bloop, I woke up. I thought, in my bed. I was alone because he really wasn't there. And so turned on my light. I actually got up because one thing I do, like I reclaim my territory. Like I will walk through the house singing, praying, like we're balancing out this energy. This is my space. Negativity is not welcome here, and calling in my helpers and guides. And I went out in the hallway. Now, remember this, I thought that I was awake, and I saw when my daughter had some dental work done when she was a little kid. This is real now. They made a cast of her mouth. So we still have this cast of her, you know, teeth that I have just kept, and it's in the kitchen right now up on a shelf. And so in my experience, I saw this little teeth thing, you know, this little cat plaster appearance teeth cast sitting on the floor where I had been crouched in my quote unquote dream. And I was terrified, and I was like, that's really weird. I know that doesn't belong here. And I went back to bed. And I went to sleep, and I heard or felt something, and then I thought I woke up again. And I heard a scream, like a loud scream right in my ear. And I yelled out, you know, I command you by the power of God, leave. And I felt something bite my neck.
Ooh.
So, but I mean, I can tell you the experiences with spirits that I have 100% no doubt that I, you know, I was awake. I saw a spirit, you know, things like that. This one, just like Marv flying through the house, like every part of it, so many parts of it felt like I was wide awake. But then, so in that experience, when I yelled out, you know, that I commanded them to leave, I got bit in the neck instead of it leaving. Like it escalated the situation. But the next morning when I really woke up and it was daylight and I laid in bed and I looked around and I thought, if I go out in the hallway and that little plaster pierce teeth thing is laying there, then I'm going to call in my most talented friends and we're going to do a big blessing and cleansing of the house. But you know what? It wasn't up there. I came down. I looked up above the doorway and it's where it always has been for 20 years. So that is the long answer to that question. I will always, if in doubt, call on the name of Jesus or God or Mary or any divinity with which I'm familiar to help.
Now, I'm going to interject with my own question. And for all you people in the chat, guys and gals, I will absolutely ask all your questions. Let me just get this one in real quick. When you were talking about your scariest experiences, and you mentioned this one that did not look human, I asked the same question to all the people who investigate ghosts, hauntings, etc. Have you ever encountered an extraterrestrial ghost? Is it even possible? I mean, it's a pretty short answer, and I've never gotten an answer in the positive saying yes, but I would think that if we've been visited so long, if ETs have died here from crashes or other reasons, if they do have souls, would they be on this planet as beings, spiritual beings? What do you think about that?
That's a really cool question. I think that they could be here. Yes, I will say yes. I think that their spirit energy could be here if they have a spirit or an animating energy, because I believe that even every living thing has some kind of energy signature. And that's why I think people in the old days, you know, tuned into fairy energy or elemental energy, you know? So here's my take on that, really. Any ETs may be simply energy. They may not have a physical component, or they may be able to manifest in the physical world and then blip out and not be in the physical world, you know? Isn't there something like with quarks? And I'm terrible when I'm trying to summarize physics. But the other thing is, even you or I or anyone, like our spirit, if you believe in astral projection or remote viewing or anything like that, that's why I like the holographic universe. Your spirit, even if like the psychic who was walking around my house astrally, you know, her body was someplace, and part of her consciousness, at least, maybe not her whole spirit, but some part of her consciousness was in this house enough that I could tune into it. And kind of on a related note, I will tell you a quick story that I love. This is in my second book, Spirits Out of Time. Yes, I'm plugging books. But So my mom was followed by a little ghost girl for decades. And she said this little girl, in different places that she saw her in Minnesota, then she saw her out in the Black Hills, South Dakota. When they moved to Wisconsin, the little girl was even like riding in the car with her sometimes. And the weird thing about the little girl, she was kind of old fashioned, long brunette braids. Like one time my mom saw her, she had wool leggings and a wool coat, but she had no face. And it wasn't like there was trauma to where her face was. It was like it was just blank. She had no face. So then my mom and I, so it was for decades, and she was always near my mom. And she was real enough that my brother, who at the time did not believe in spirits, came home one day from California, and he actually came up the stairs, looked around the corner, and he saw this little girl with long brown braids in a white nightgown, scurry, to use his word, into my mom's bedroom, my mom and dad's bedroom. And he yelled out, and my mom called out hello from a different room and came walking down. And you know, they talked for a minute, and then he said, "Who's here?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Who's the little girl?" And she said, "What little girl?" He said, "A little girl, the little girl that just ran into your bedroom." And my mom's like, "There's nobody here." And of course, they went and looked, and there was nobody there. But that's how real this little girl was. Okay, so years later, my mom and I took Reiki, which is kind of a healing energy practice. We took Reiki training together. We did level one, then we did level two. And one of the components of level two Reiki training is that you can energetically access the past or the future and do healings. And so my mom, she has an Irish mom, her mom was Irish, her father was Norwegian. My mom definitely got the Norwegian sensibility, just very stoic and very steady. And so my mom, we were at my sister's house for a party one afternoon, and I said, "Mom, I had a really cool experience last night with Reiki." And she said, "So did I." I said, "Well, tell me yours first." And she said, and so we were all standing around, and she said, "Well," she said, "you know that little ghost girl?" And we're all like, "Yeah." And she said, "I was waiting to get into the bathroom." And she said, "I was sitting in my rocking chair and I was rocking." And she was tired because it was late at night. This is all like, if you do know anything about shamanism, it's like a way to put yourself in a trance, you know? So she's rocking in this rocking chair, and she decided to use the symbol, the Reiki symbol that unlocks the past and the future so you can do energy work there. Unlocks is probably not quite describing it right, but, you know, gets you energetically to that point where you can do that. And she said, so she did that symbol, and she asked the little girl, like, "Who are you, and do you need help?" And she said, and she appeared in front of me. And we're like, "What did you do?" And she said, "I kept rocking." And she said, and then I looked at her, and we're like, "Yes." And she said, "She had a face." And we're like, "Yes." And then my mom, who I have never seen cry, burst into tears. And we're like, "What, Mom? What was it?" And she said, "It was me."
Wow.
It was her own soul, you know, part of her spirit. She did have what was very traumatic for her. They left when she was about the age of this little ghost girl. They left the big Irish family home in St. Paul, where she lived with her great grandparents and some great, you know, aunts and uncles. And she was kind of the center of attention, she and her little sister. And then her dad graduated from law school, and they moved, you know, 75 miles away to a small town. So they were in a big, quiet house, and he worked during the day. And, you know, it was just a whole different thing. And so she, you know, part of her own soul or spirit energy, I mean, in shamanic healing, they call this soul loss, was separated from her body. So do I think that ETs could have part of their own, whether they are, you know, dead or, I guess that's the right word, but like if they're physically alive, I feel like part of their spirit could be walking around. If their physical body, if they have one, is dead, I feel like their spirit could be walking around. And when you really start thinking about this stuff, it's just mind-blowing, you know?
You actually gave me the best answer, Annie, of anybody I've asked this question. And I posed this question to a lot of paranormal researchers. Now, we have 45 minutes left, so let me try to get these five questions from listeners in, which are coming in faster than I can get them in, which is great. Because, folks, remember, this show is for you, you guys and gals listening around the world. And that's why I say you're questions and comments come first before mine. So Desert Rex says, "I'm curious to know if she practices meditation because that's how she could better understand these energies."
That is really interesting that that question came up tonight, because I feel that I was just thinking tonight, and kind of in reference to one of the earlier fellows asked about whether we're having, you know, whether we're still seeing stuff now. My husband had a very severe stroke in 2016. And so our life has been completely changed. And one component of that, for the time being, it's not going to be forever, is that it's just very, very, there's so much work and there's so much, I am going to just say that a lot of stress. So my mind, like what's going on in my mind a lot of times is, you know, a to-do list. I need to do this. I've got to do that. What are we behind on? And it's not fun. And I want to get to a better place. And I know we will, because he has made huge strides in his health. He's actually doing really well. But I was thinking tonight, so I think that has affected the spirit, my interaction with the spirits, talking about using energy to manifest. Like, I had so much energy. I had an abundance of energy. And kind of talking tonight, I can feel it, you know, coming back. We have had some really moving, beautiful experiences with the spirit world since he got sick. But on a day-to-day basis, I feel that my distraction, my level of distraction and also tiredness is diminishing my ability to perceive and interact with the spirits. And that is something that I want to regain, because that's a loss that I don't want to be permanent. So, I'm losing my train of thought. Can you restate your question, Dr. J?
Absolutely. It is, Desert Rex was curious to know if you practice meditation. Yes.
that kind of provides its own answer. I need to, because I need to be able to concentrate. And that's what I was thinking. Like, I really do want to have that same experience with the world, with my consciousness that I had before. It makes life so much more enjoyable, and it's really good for my mental health. And so I was thinking, like, I should, because I do sit and do what I call meditations in the parlor quite often. Dudley joins me quite often, but it's not very structured, and I think I might benefit from it being more structured, probably because I'm so hyper wired right now. I'd benefit more from doing like a walk-in meditation. But yes, I think I totally agree that a meditation would be beneficial to, I mean, really learning to meditate would be beneficial to my increased intuition and increased receptiveness to messages from the spirit world, and, you know, observing things and noting them. So yeah,
I actually have to say, Annie, that is the same answer I hear from everybody. Meditation is important for remote viewing, for making your intuition be more powerful, things like that. I definitely think that we have undervalued it as a society the last, I don't know how many years, but finally it's coming back. Anyhow, let me move on with the questions since they are piling up. Dezombify, have you ever wanted to move?
I will say that after the tongue in the ear thing, that made me wonder, because I didn't know at that point if things were going to escalate and get really bad, or if it was an anomaly. And so that would probably be the one time, because I love this house. I fell in love with it the first time I walked through it with my realtor, and I do describe that in my book. It was such a cool experience, because it's such an interesting old house, just twists and turns and doors to nowhere and a staircase that leads nowhere, and, you know, pretty windows and pocket doors hidden in the walls. And it's just, for a writer, this house was like just absolutely perfect. And there was a treasure hidden in the basement in the dirt room that we found. I mean, everything about this house has been just so much fun. So, so much fun. So no, overall, I not only don't want to move, really have not ever wanted to. I would like to live in this house until the end of my days. And I want to, when I get a little older than I am, start looking around for someone who will be a good steward of the home and its energy and keep it positive. Like, I want to choose the next caretaker of this house. And if I can tell a quick, when I saw this house, like, it put I felt like it put a spell on me. It was so perfect. It was so cool. I knew there was a ghost. I thought there was one ghost, and I thought, okay, I think he's Catholic, so at least we have that common, you know, we have that in common. But my kids were teenagers too, so it's not like I had little babies. It's like, well, if anything, they'll probably cause him to go to the light, because my daughter was a blue-haired punk rocker at the time, and my son was an Elvis impersonator. This is real. So He didn't feel the energy just felt heavy. He didn't feel evil or bad or weird or anything. So I'm losing my track of thought again. I'm so sorry. What was I going to say? Shoot. Oh, find in a caretaker. Okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say, when you do, make sure you ask people like Zach Baggins, who bought the house in Indiana, Gary, Indiana. People like that. If you're trying to find a caretaker in the paranormal community who's going to properly take care of it and deal with these spirits in the way you have been, I'm sure it can be done, especially nowadays, as opposed to 30 to 50 years
ago. Yeah. I actually see probably an energy worker coming in. Oh, but I was going to say, when I went to the house signing, Leon's daughter was sitting across from me. She lives in a different state out east. And she said, right in the middle of the signing, "The house chose you." That's that cool?
True.
I mean, they walked out of the room to make
it
stop.
I've actually heard that a lot. And same thing with pets. They always say pets choose their owners. And I do believe in this case that the house did choose you, considering the life you've led. Now, since questions are piling up, let me combine these two, since they're both from Lars Saturn. I'm reading it word for word. Has she ever had a dream within a dream, meaning she controls it? And the second part is lucid dreams, some say, ?
Yes. I love dreaming. I love dreaming. That's actually been affected a little bit by just the change in our household, but I'm getting it back and I'm so relieved. Yes, I have had lucid dreams. I have had, I've had dreams that I can control. I've had dreams of moving through the house. I've had spirits come and visit me in dreams. That's the coolest, like positive spirits. Yes, I've had a lot of really cool dream experiences. And actually, I would like to write a book just about different dream experiences that I've had here and other people have. So thank you for that question. That was...
I'm just relaying it from the chat. Now, another question from Lars Saturn. Would she be interested in leading a tour through the Winchester Mansion?
Possibly. People compare my house to, I don't think my house is anything like it because it's not that big, but it does have these interesting twists and turns. And I have had to put my haunted tea parties on sabbatical for a few years while Dudley gets stronger. But I had so many requests for tours of my house after my first book came out that I decided to set up tours, and I did it as tea parties because the house is Victorian and has a real feminine sensibility, I think. So I will resume the tea parties again, hopefully next year. This year I'm going to start with spirited schoolhouse events where I have other practitioners like the crystal ball reader or mediums come in and present, do what they do, and I just host. But yes, we have tea parties where at almost every event we have here, the spirits will make their presence known. And I say it right on my website. I always invite them. I cannot coerce them. They have free will. So they may make their presence known or they may not. But I have asked the spirits and said to them, if there ever comes a time when you don't, we're not working together, like if they're not attending these events and making their presence known, that will tell me that it's time for me to move on to other things, because it's just such an integral part of the experience for people, the learning about the spirit world in a positive, safe environment.
And when we get to the end of the show, I do want you to plug in not just the books, the website, of course, because people are going to be interested in your paranormal tea parties and other investigations you lead. Now, this question is from Lasha Senyuk. What about ghost pests? I'm reading it word for word. Ghosts, pets. I am constantly experiencing some of my pets that have passed on. That's what she said.
Cool. She's so lucky. Yes, I have had visits from our pets or companion animals in spirit. And there is a ghost cat here that was encountered by one of our guests to the point where he got up and tried to get it out of the room. And did not believe us the next day when we said we had no white cat. And he said, it was biting my toes. It was yowling. I mean, I saw it. I felt it. And when we've had different psychics here, and this is, you know, before the days when I had any, I didn't have any books out at the time. The first psychic who came through my house, he was from Iowa. Oh, I wrote his name in my book. I think it's Robert, but I'm spacing his last name. But he said to Dave Schrader, he's like, there's a ghost cat. There's a white ghost cat. I can see it on her porch. I mean, he couldn't even see my house. He was down in Iowa. I didn't have a website. I didn't have any pictures of my house because I had no book. So yeah, there is a ghost cat. And then our pet spirits have come back for visits.
Yep. Now, very good answer. And of course, that's what Lasha was saying. Let me see if I could find the next one here, because we have also John Shooter, who is the owner of Deep Program Radio. He's actually in the chat. So a shout out to JC, cool. As I call him, John Shooter. And let's see who else here. Okay, Pam Brettenberg, who is my social media manager and also operator of UnitedTruthSeekers.com. What was her favorite dream about?
Oh, well, I guess I would have to give that some thought. Probably, I guess my favorite dreams, there is a theme. My favorite dreams within this house are of coming down to the parlor and realizing I can fly and just like flying through my house. Like it's like in these dreams, like remembering, oh, I do know how to fly. I thought I knew how to fly. I know how to fly. And just like super peacefully, like gliding through the house. Just like the simple joy of flying. So that's a cool question, though. I'm going to actually give that some thought, and I might talk about it on my Facebook page because I have dream journals and I have notes. Like right now beside my kitchen table, I have an envelope full of tiny little notes just reminding myself of dreams that I've had or experiences here that I want to record so that I can use them, you know, in books and in stories and just so I can remember them.
Now, let me see, because we have a lot of comments here. I'm trying to get to the ones that are questions. And I want to thank everybody, guys and gals in the chat, who are very engaging. And a big shout out to the Third Phase of Moon, who essentially got me started. The Cousins Brothers, the largest UFO YouTube channel out there. And they do it with style. Over 700,000 subscribers. Blake and Brent, thanks to you guys. Big shout out. Okay, let me see who else I could find. Oh, their comment was, everybody dreams or they die, LOL. I definitely agree that if you don't dream, you will have things locked in your psyche that will not get resolved. So that is definitely a necessity. Let me see what else I could find here, because we have quite a few. I want to make sure I don't see him out of order. Desert Rex, another comment. Lucid dreaming can be a form of remote viewing, what we were saying earlier. And John Tudor follows up with, or hallucination. Now, Pam, what was your favorite? I think I mentioned this. What was your favorite dream about? I think you said that the flying, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And it felt super real. Yeah.
Let me see. Anybody else here? Now I could finally ask my own. This is good. Okay, I'm going to give my breaks. Okay, you were talking beforehand, and there are a lot of great comments. Beforehand, we were talking about things that can affect or bring paranormal activity. And I was talking to you about things that happen to your own body, like health, for instance, coughing, nosebleeds, ears ringing. And you mentioned what about unusual weather or terrible weather? How does that affect the spiritual plane?
Oh, well, Thank you for bringing that back around to that. I want to say one thing about your health comment, because before I go on to weather, because Marianne Winkowski, the Ghost Whisperer, remember they did a TV show about the Ghost Whisperer based on her actual life. And she was on a radio show, and they asked me to call in, and I said, well, I don't want to try to fool somebody. I mean, we just have to say, like, this is someone who lives in a haunted house. And so I called in, and she said, she said, as I recall, she can only tell if there are spirits of, I think, the dead. I can't remember if it's people who haven't crossed over, or if it's, I guess I can't remember that detail, but she said, you have a lot of spirit activity in your house and a lot of spirit visitors. She said, do you have problems with your sinuses or your stomach? And I said, my sinuses. And she said, that's spirit energy. That's one thing that it interferes with. And she said, also, do you have problems with your electrical wiring or your plumbing? And I said, yes, we have lights go off and on. There are some lights in the house that I know are just broken, but then there are some that are responsive with going off and on. And one of the main things in this house is that it talks. Like, the paranormal groups love coming here because they get so many EVPs. And one of the main spooky ones is, less, I guess it is kind of spooky, it's like whispers coming out of the radiators. And we've had the radiators bled. It sounds very, you can't quite make it, almost make it. You know, you can't quite make out words, but you can hear bits of words, parts of words. And I actually heard just the other night what sounded like a name, and it was a name of someone that I know, and it was his voice. So that hasn't happened before, and I want to give that a little more thought before I talk about it too much. But so weather. So I wrote a book called Trucker Ghost Stories, and when I was, unlike my other two books, which are my own experiences, this book was a collection of true experiences from truckers and people involved in the trucking industry, with a couple of stories thrown in from just people who had very haunting or weird experiences while on the road driving. And so when I was doing radio interviews to promote that book, it was a little bit of a different experience, because I couldn't just go back in my mind and memory and tell about my own experiences with my own emotion. It was trying to tell somebody else's story secondhand. I'm like, how can I do this and really capture how cool. It's a fun book to read because we left the truckers' voices as they were. If they're very individual, you get a total sense of the person's energy as they're telling the story. But one thing, so as I was kind of coming back through my book after it had come out, when I was starting to promote it, and I was looking through it with the idea, how can I best convey the cool things about this book that will make people really want to read it? And one thing I noticed when I was looking at it in that way, rather than just getting stories collected, sorted out, you know, put in order, was that weird weather was a common theme, and that it was like a harbinger of weird stuff to come. Like, there were so many stories, including my own story in the book, my own experience, that it started with severe, threatening, weird weather. Like, and as we mentioned a little bit earlier, my theory is that like, it creates, it brings up a lot of energy, especially if it's like weird wind or water or something where it's like, you know, that panic energy where it's a lot of energy. And at the same time, your mind and your body is on high alert. So you have these two elements that provide both material for the spirit world to use to manifest, and you're going to be paying a lot more attention to things than you are on a regular plain old day. So one of the one of the weirdest, because probably it is used in movies because it's visually so ominous, is fog. Mm-hmm. And one thing that there was a paranormal group in town, and they were really good, and it was mostly women, and they came in without equipment. They were just like tuned in, and I thought that was really cool. I like it all, but I like that element too, where there's somebody who can actually communicate with the spirits in a very direct way. But we had a dog at that time, and I had to take our dog out for a walk for about 20 minutes. And I came back, and actually when they gave me the report, they had written in there something super cool. They said, I'm reading from my notes for this, but they said when I left the house with our dog, Cherry, that the very air in the house seemed to change. Almost as if it were uncomfortable that we were there without our hostess. Like, I love that. To me, that's like my house is looking out for itself too. Like, I do believe my house has its own kind of awareness. But anyway, so this woman, her name is Erin. She's really cool. She was one of the heads of that paranormal group. And there was one day, like now there's a reason for fog today. We have a very, very foggy day and flooding and all sorts of crazy stuff. But there was one particular day, it was summertime, sunny blue skies the day before, that even later that day. But one morning we just woke up and it was just thick fog that didn't seem, it seemed weird. It seemed out of place. Like, why is it foggy? And I had run into her at Target that day. And she said, we were talking about the fog and how it was so weird and thick. And then it was just gone like in an hour. And she said, yeah, I drove past your house on my way to work. And I saw a little ghost girl playing in your front yard in the fog. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool and weird. Like, I said, what era? And she said, I would say from the 40s or 50s, like a cotton dress, throwing a ball up in the air. And then she said, I saw her, I saw her in your yard. And then she just like stepped back into the fog. And I thought that was super cool. But I don't know how much time you want me to take with stories. I have some stories from the book that involve weather. Should I go ahead with them? Or?
No, I was just going to say, we have 20 minutes left, actually less than that, and more questions have piled up during this
let's
answer.
Go to that.
So
yeah.
Let me go to them real quick. I try to get everybody
in. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
Okay. Lasha Senyak asks, how can we help a spirit that is around us, and how can we best communicate with them to find out when, what they need, what they want or need?
Well, I love that attitude. And I would say that I believe that we are all energy stewards. We are all responsible for creating positive energy for the world as much as possible and contributing positive energy. So becoming aware of energy, like tuning in, like just paying attention to the energy of where you are and trusting, if you have a feeling that there's something awry or amiss, or something that needs attention, to give it some attention, like to just stop and give it some attention. I really wish that I were able to communicate much more clearly with spirits. I feel like I'm lucky when I, for the most part lucky, but when I see a spirit, like, it's a gift. It's not like I can sit down and go, all right, are there any spirits here that want to communicate? I actually do that, but I feel like if they communicate, I'm lucky. So I think that paying attention, having a genuine desire to help are the most important elements. And if, I mean, I ask spirits, because dreams are one of the ways in which I get messages. I ask spirits to come to me in a dream, if that's something they can do, if there's something that they need help with, or to give me a sign. And so I guess I would say to this questioner, the ways in which they are most adept at receiving information, to ask that it be presented in that way. And if they felt that there was still something like a higher level of need, or that they're not able to get the whole story, to, you know, talk to friends who are psychic, or even work with someone who is psychic to communicate the message.
Now, John Tudor, also known as JCD Program Radio, UK, asks, how many spirits just want to be left alone?
Right. A lot, I would say. But if they're doing things to get attention, well, okay, so spirits can be doing things to get attention because they want attention, or spirits could be doing things to get attention to say, like, leave me alone or get out of my house or things like that. Yeah, and I actually don't, I mean, the spirits who are here, the host spirits, I don't believe any of them are earthbound. I think Leon was before we found his money and gave it back to his family because he was concerned about the money. We thought he would go to the light after that, but he didn't. And now, in retrospect, I'm very glad that he didn't. I think he went to the light. I should correct that. I think he did cross over, but I think he comes back. I think that is one of his roles in the spirit world, is to help protect this very cool, unusual property from the spirit side of things. So yeah, that makes sense to me. We don't, you know, if a spirit is, I think that once a spirit has crossed over, they can come and visit, they can come and go. It's usually the earthbound spirits that need a little bit of assistance because of either information that needs to get to someone, or something that needs to get done, or something they feel bad about or want to protect someone. So I think it can be that spirits genuinely want and need help, and I think it can be also that spirits sometimes just want to be left alone. That's a really good point.
Now, here's a question I've never even pondered myself. It's just a sort of, I'll just read it. I wonder if the spirits have dreams of us. That's what it is.
Ooh, well, I had an experience one night. This is getting back to the multidimensionality thing, where dream, quote unquote, I was in my bed. I heard pounding from inside the closet in my room. And this is the unhaunted room. This is a different bedroom than the one where I had the other stuff. And that I knew it was a ghost. And I got up and I went to open the door. I pounded back and I heard two men talking inside the closet. And when I pounded back on the door, it was like, who's that? What's that? Like I, you know, startled them. And then I opened the door and there were two men, like 1940s, 50s era clothes, older. And they just looked so scared. And I felt bad because it's like, oh, I didn't really mean to scare them. I thought it'd be funny, like I'm scaring the ghost, but they actually did look genuinely scared. And I have met the descendants of many people who have lived in my house. And I did meet the a woman and her cousin whose grandparents and aunt and uncle had lived in this house in the 1940s and 50s. And I said, do you ever remember hearing an experience of them like being startled by something? Like what is now my closet, my bedroom was a living room because this was a duplex. So that was a closet in the living room. So, and she said that's where he kept his filing cabinet and things like that. So it is plausible that there may have been, you know, two adults in the closet, you know, getting something out of the filing cabinet or whatever. But she said she did not remember any story like that. But I thought, well, if I can see spirits from the past, then why could my like astral body not go visit them? You know, why would it can go both ways, it would seem.
Very well said.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
Now, let me see what else here, because there's a lot of comments and a lot of people are definitely, like I said, have been engaged. Let me see if I could find one here that is a question to you as opposed to one from to another person. Yes, I know you find people have had your own ghost stories. I'd like to hear those on a night. We do have an open call night, but tonight we have Annie Wilder. So keep these questions to her, considering we are down to the last 10-ish minutes. Let me see who else I got here for you. Okay, we don't. So I'm going to go back to my own now. This is a homage, by the way, to what I used to do, what I started, and to Third Phase of Moon. You mentioned before we went on air your own UFO experience or sighting. Can you talk about that?
Oh, I just heard something. I'm sorry. I just heard a huge crash and my cats are terrified, but I think it was outside. Let me do a quick check. I'm very sorry to have this happening while we're on the air.
No problem. I hope it's not something that's a spirit that's trying to bother you right now, well, literally, while you're on air.
That would be not something too unusual, but I just want... Did you hear that noise? Okay. Actually, okay. Hey, I guess this is real. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't... that my husband was okay, and... He is, and he heard the same thing. So, all right. I am sorry. So, UFO. I have more than one. I think I will tell you. I had an experience one night. Now, there have been astral beings that I've seen here that are not human spirits. So, one particular night, I woke up, realized I was like curled up tight. And as I was waking up, I'm like, why am I like this? Like pulling myself all tight in a little ball. There was, a small hooded being that was grabbing my arm. And my impression was that it was trying to pull my spirit out of my body. And immediately, and one of the things that helps me stay in a haunted house when I have spooky stuff is I get scared, but I get mad. Like, I feel like my boundaries are being violated. So I started immediately, like, with prayer and, swearing, like, alternating, swearing, praying. And I asked for this being. I wasn't really scared because it was so little. It was probably 4 feet tall, but it was so creepy and I didn't know what it was. And I asked for it to be removed. And the way that it got removed, instead of just like disappearing, it literally was like sucked backwards up out of the ceiling. And when it was pulled away like that, I saw that there were more behind it. And then I got scared because I'm like, okay, one little astral being is not that intimidating, but if there's like a bunch of them, that just made it a lot spookier. And when I was telling one of my psychic friends about this, she said, oh, let me tune in and see what I get. And then she called me back and she said, that was little like ETs just inviting you out to play, just little aliens. And I was like, I don't want to play with aliens. Actually, the thought of spirit kids running through my house at night, that doesn't scare me. But there is something about aliens that makes me nervous because I don't know enough about how they might act or things like that. So, and I just started watching listening to your interview with Stephen Greer.
Yes.
And some of his stuff, like about the peaceful communication. I just thought it was so revolutionary and so novel, because I've never heard that kind of attitude presented. I mean, I've heard of his name. I didn't know he was doing such cool stuff. So that might give me a new perspective. But that particular night, I don't know what the little critters were. I don't know if they were alien, but I do feel that it was not human energy. So it was unfamiliar to me.
Do you remember any dreams of maybe that resembled an abduction, thinking possibly like maybe waking up with non-terrestrial creatures or around your room, or what looks to be like children standing around your bed? Or do you have any memory recall of, say, lying on a table or anything like that? The reason I'm implying this is for abduction.
Okay. Now, I will say, thank God, no. And I am going to tell you this, I wasn't sure. I had an alien contactee, well-known, at my house one day with his wife and some friends of theirs, because he had written a book, and I met him through various professional contacts. And so when I heard that he was going to be in Minneapolis, I invited him and his wife to come to my house. And at that time, Dudley and I weren't together, so I was living here alone. And as soon as I did, and they said, sure, we'd love to stop by, I became terrified. Like, what did I just do? I mean, they have very freaky alien stuff going on. I knew it was true because he had a book coming out through Llewellyn, where I worked, and weird stuff was happening to everyone involved with him. Like weird stuff with their phones, and weird stuff with lights, and weird stuff with this recorded voice named Audrey calling. Anyway, so the night before, I was like, it's just one day. You can do a big clearing or whatever. It's like, why did I invite somebody who has alien contacts into this energetically open house? So the night before, I did wake up. I saw a flash of light coming out of our bathroom and upstairs. I was terrified, laid there for a while, and I was like, oh, okay. It was probably just a car going by. And I no more than thought that than there was a flash of light in my room. Now, flashes of light by spirits, I am pretty comfortable with. But the thought that it might be alien made me really nervous. So then they came the next day. They were very nice. There was one weird picture taken by the contactee in the playroom, which is our haunted room. Years later at a tea party, somebody took a picture, got a weird anomaly in the picture. It was the same kind of thing in the same part of the room where he had taken his picture. All right. So the day, I do the tour. It's the middle of the day. We have a nice time. They head on to their next thing. I go to bed that night. I'm just like, oh, I'm so relieved. Oh my gosh. That worked out pretty well. That, nothing happened. And I went to bed and I woke up in the middle of the night. And I wish that I had a camera in my room, because I do not know if this physically happened or if it was just a very real perception, if it was like an astral event. My bed was shaking so hard that I felt like I had no idea what was going on. I was terrified. And I woke up and I could feel it still. And I was just looking around the room, and my cat was in bed with me. And I looked at her like, is this happening? Like somehow it could be confirmed. Like she would look at me and everything would be normal. And instead I saw her getting like sucked backwards off the bed with her claws out. And all of a sudden she just disappeared, at the bottom, the foot of the bed. And I was still trying to process this, like, is this happening? Or like, am I asleep or am I awake? And I just peered over the end of the bed and she was on the floor looking up at me with huge eyes. Like, what just happened? Okay. So I did not go back to sleep. That weekend, I was doing the laundry. I stripped the bed. And not thinking anymore about, the visit that had been a midweek. And when I was taking the fitted sheet off the bed, I looked and there were tears in the fitted sheet from her claws. Like, it really happened. At least that part of it really happened. So that was the night after they left. So I felt like there was some lingering weird energy.
We definitely ran out of time, Annie, and there's so much more to cover, and you know this, and I know this, and the listeners yep. know this, and we're going to have to do this again for sure. And unfortunately, because we are out of time, I want to give you two things. First, before I have you do your plugins, if you have one final statement to encompass what we talked about today to all the listeners globally, what would you say to them?
Get excited, Whataburger fans. Our one-of-a-kind mushroom Swiss burger is back.
If you love mushrooms, you're going to love this burger.
Two patties, two slices of Swiss cheese, two layers of mushrooms. These mushrooms are beautiful.
It's a really good balance between hearty and savory. That au jus sauce on top.
The creamy au jus sauce. It really sets it apart.
Just adds flavor that makes you go, wow. It is just absolutely amazing.
It's not just a mushroom Swiss burger. It's a Whataburger mushroom Swiss burger. Here for a limited time.
Today at Whataburger, we're cooking the sweet and spicy bacon burger.
You can't beat it. It's hot, it's fresh.
The sweet and spicy bacon burger is my all-time favorite.
I love this burger. It's just perfect.
Two beef patties, two different types of cheese, caramelized onions. My favorite thing about this burger is the sweet and spicy pepper sauce and the bacon.
The sweet and spicy bacon burger is an all-time favorite at Whataburger.
That's happiness.